All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This Bible class is dedicated to Bonnie Pollock, who went face to face with the Lord this previous Friday around 6:30, 6 o'clock. And so this Bible class is dedicated to her memory. She is face to face with the Lord and out of here. So take note. She was with us for some time and was consistent in getting here. And she got here and her health, she was, from the time she came here, she suffered from certain types of pain in her body, but she made it. All right, let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Be sure we're in fellowship. Does you no good if you try to deal with this out of fellowship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together to grow in grace and knowledge, to lay hold of those things that you have promised for those who take you seriously. We ask that you bless our time together and enlighten us in the issues at hand in Christ's name. Amen. We noted in verse 1 of this chapter, Peter prophesies with regard to the rise of false teachers. Verse 1, but false prophets also arose among the people. Of course, this is a reference to the Old Testament. And there were plenty of those types of dishonorable false prophets that arose among the people of Israel, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. In other words, they are not above board. Destructive heresies secretly introduced, even denying the master who bought them. This refers to attacks on who and what Jesus Christ is, which has occurred throughout the church age, denying his God-man status and other factors where the person of Christ has come under attack by false teachers under the banner of so-called Christians. This is replete through history, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. All right, verse 2, that's where we resume. And many will follow their sensuality. And many, polis, the adjective in the plural, will follow. Follow after is ek akalutheo. Will follow after their, the word sensuality, is with the article also Gaia. And because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. In other words, they'll give a bad name to Christianity because people outside will associate and say, see, they promote this. And because of them, the way of truth, Hudas, the way Aletheia of truth, will be maligned. This is the word where we have blaspheme. Blasphemeo means to slander or malign. Other factors. In other words, they promote, if you're familiar with the term, they're libertines. They promote this kind of action, immorality, promoting it, and so forth. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. And in their greed, pleonizia, greed, they will exploit. Exploit is M poruomai, future indicative. He's looking ahead because this is prophetic. They will do this. The word exploit is found two times. Outside of this context, it would mean in the business world, carry on business. Two times, James 4:13, where it's translated, will merchandise you with false, plastos, fabricated, formed, plastos, words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle. Their judgment, krima, from long ago. Long ago is the adverb ek palai, means of a long time ago, two times and also come up in 3:5. Is not, negative, idle, argeo, present indicative, to be idle. And their destruction is not asleep. And their destruction, apolia, is not asleep. The word asleep is the future indicative of nystadzo. This means to be drowsy, figurative for inactive, is not asleep. One, they will, predicts the Apostle Peter, have considerable success, as noted in the words, and many will follow their sensuality. Believers will fall for this mess. People will be caught up in it. That's the idea here. The many here refers to believers, not unbelievers. It refers to believers who are taken in by their destructive heresies. All through the church age, heretical teaching has been rampant. Destructive heresies, along with unbelievers to whom aberrant Christianity is appealing. So this is looking down the road. They weren't in full force in anything when he wrote this. Certainly there were these types of individuals, but it wasn't to the scale that it has become throughout the course of the church age. These individuals are apparently professed antinomians. Antinomian means against law, or libertines. As the theme, their sensuality, recurs throughout the chapter, either directly or indirectly. They actually promote sexual license, immorality. They give it a, they present it as okay under these conditions. We've got it all over today in pulpits, in denominations, in churches, promoting you know what. And sanctifying in their own way gay marriages and other such perversions. So these individuals are apparently professed antinomians as their theme. Their sensuality recurs throughout the chapter, either directly or indirectly. 2:10, 2:14, 18, 19, 22, and 3:3. They encourage in others sexual freedom, license. Biblically sound Christianity, called by Peter the way of truth, was brought into disrecredit when the false teachers and their followers promoted sexual freedom in the name of God and Christ. I mean, you personally may not be familiar with any of this, but it's been out there and been out there for a long time. Those who adopted the immoral practices of the libertines brought the disrepute upon all Christians, because the unbelievers, they like to point that out, maybe, whatever, big deal. It doesn't change anything. Let them do what they're going to do. Those outside the church were naturally scandalized by those who claimed to be Christian and embraced immorality in the name of God. The expression in verse 2 reflects the influence of Isaiah 52 here. Therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? Again, the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. All right. Paul cites the text in Romans 2:24, and accuses the Jews, the Jewish people, of bringing disrepute on the plan of God. Romans 2:24. For indeed, circumcision is valid if you practice the law, and if you're a transgressor of the law. Wrong verse. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So the Gentiles run their mouths because the Jews are corrupt and do corrupt things. This goes on all over. I run into this a lot, or I ran into it a lot. Those outside the plan, or even sometimes Christians, attack the Jews and attack God because of the Jewish failure. Doesn't change anything; they just do it. The outside world forms an impression of the church, favorable or unfavorable, based on the conduct of its members. We are to be lights in the world. We are to stand against evil. And so we have 1 Timothy 4:12, which reads, "For if we believe 4:12, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need." It tells Christians that we're to lead a quiet life. A lot of them don't do that. Attend to your own business. Work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. 1 Timothy 6:1. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. So what we have to do is our part. To bring verbal attack on us because of our conduct. The 2:5 of Titus, he says, he gives instructions here to whom this letter was sent. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So here we see examples of this. A further charge is pressed in verse 3. And this, of course, is another thing that drives these false teachers. The driving force behind them is their materialism, money lust. Oh, and we see that all over in these churches, all over the place, with regard to their approach to money. The New Testament warns spiritual leaders against this vice. They're in it all. For monetary gain, not for the right reason. So New Testament warns leaders against being under this vice. Paul took particular care to avoid suspicion. That's why when he started new churches and evangelized, he didn't take money from them. He had a strict rule. He worked with his own hands in repairing tents, manual labor. And then he taught them. But he would not take money from new converts. Because in the world out there, there's all these kind of individuals, traveling philosophers and everything, taking up offerings, taking money from people. We don't do that. We don't want to give the false impression at all. Yes, there's a place for believers to give once they grow up and figure out some stuff. Of course. There is a general doctrine of giving that you can review. The verb will exploit. This word can m peruomai means to travel for business, trade. Figurative for taking advantage of another, hence cheat, has a bad connotation here and is akin to our word cheat. They manipulate these believers. The false teachers covered their greed by using false words. We've seen it. We've seen it all over the place. The health and wealth gospel. If you give a bunch of money to this, then God's going to make you wealthy. That's the lead-in they give. We are all too familiar with it, having seen it. So their greed is covered by using false words, fake piety, all the rest of it. In other words, they use specious, having an appearance of legitimacy. Arguments to persuade believers to give large sums of money into their hands. I've seen a lot of it, observed it at a distance. The history of Christianity is filled with ministers and priests who exploited their people for financial gain. Even some places in the world where the people, the population is poor. They take their money, promising them whatever, if they will do it. We've stayed far above all of that. We have no gimmicks. We have no fun drives. We don't do this stuff. We don't have some kind of a deal and invite the outside world to come in and give money. We don't take money from the cosmos. I would be very careful in taking money from somebody. Someone just offered me money out of the clear blue. No. I wouldn't take it. I have nothing to do with it. If they want to give, I'll say give to the Maranatha Church General Fund, if you're so inclined. But I would not put myself in that position. Again, the history of Christianity is filled with ministers and priests who exploited their people for financial gain. Look how much wealth the Catholic Church has accumulated in its history. It's mind-boggling. Underneath these cathedrals and places, even in Latin America where there's poor countries, they have these troughs out there. And these poor people come up and throw their small change in there. And every day the priest comes and scoops it all out. That's what they do to these poor people. Promising them heaven, whatever they're promising them. And of course we've seen these evangelists and these other types on TV. Send your offering to this. Con artists, everything. Saw an interview with a guy who started off doing this with another guy. And he, because they were college kids. And they saw one of these tent revivals and they went out there. And they're drinking beer. And they say, hey, we can do this. We'll get a deal to do music. And the guy that was being interviewed had his face darkened out because he broke from it. And the other guy was still out there. And he would break into this preacher's lingo, affected speech, and then just cut it off. Like an actor. Fakes, all these people. They're out there for the money. In the name of Jesus and all the rest of it. With all their perverse doctrines and all their stuff they make up. So, we're well aware of that. Jesus taught this in the parable of Luke 12:42. Peter, Lord did a parable, and Peter said, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else? Jesus said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? I'm giving you your rations, your spiritual rations, at the proper time. We said it, we've always set a time, and here's Bible class. Blessed is the slave who his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. That would be in the kingdom. He will have a high position in the millennial kingdom if he conducts himself properly and takes care of the chief steward, the chief slave over all the others, gives them their rations. What he actually did was he distributed things to the individuals on the estate so they could carry out the various duties they needed, whatever it was they needed, whatever material they needed. And so in the parable is giving you spiritual information. But if the slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming. See, this is the absentee landlord. The landlord isn't on the property, as it were. The analogy is, oh, I can do this down here. God won't, and ignores and doesn't think there's a time of reckoning for his actions. My master will be a long time in coming, and he begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, to eat and drink and get drunk. The master will come. The master of the slave will come on the day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and sign him to the place of unbelievers. Whoa! So that would be an unbeliever that was exploiting people in the name of God and all the rest of it. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. This would indicate different categories of believers. A slave that doesn't do it right, quits doing it right. How is he going to get many lashes? I don't mean literally get beat. I mean he will take a big hit at the bema seat. Because he did that. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. For everyone who has been given much, and that would be you and I here in Maranatha Church, who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, they will ask him all the more. Okay. The two indictments of verses 2 and 3 relate to sex lust and materialism lust. And this is, and both of these have been historically rampant among these false type Christians. Nevertheless, Peter assures his readers that they will not escape future judgment. There's a certain poetic rhythm in the words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. The words judgment and destruction are almost personified. When the wicked are successful and their misdeeds go unpunished, men tend to misinterpret the apparent inactivity and become discouraged, or worse, act lawless themselves. Well, they ain't doing anything. Nothing's happening to those guys. They're running amok, driving around in expensive cars, having all this stuff go for them. No. They get it sooner or later. God's verdict has already been pronounced against them. And the doom that surely will overtake them has been set in motion from a long time ago. It's hunting them down. They'll get it. Many of them have already gotten it because they're dead. The rest of them running around, their turn's next. And of course, for many on earth today, they're going to step into the tribulation. Then we'll see. As individuals, they die and face phase three wrath in Sheol Hades. As a group, their counterparts will enter great tribulation and be destroyed from the earth in the judgments of the 7 years. They're all going to be, the trib will be a big manifestation of hunting these people down and taking them out. As individuals, they die in phase three wrath. Okay, I'll give you that. Those who are believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and experience shame and loss. That would be beating a slave with many lashes in some cases and so forth. The unbelievers will be further humiliated at the great white throne judgment. Okay. I didn't hand out notes, did I? Am I missing a page? Is there more notes? Okay, I'm done. Quit looking at me like that. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.